So we are very grateful for all the gifts that the kids brought. And we'll be taking them down to, and this is Stockport Food Bank. Don't live in Stockport anymore. Salford Food Bank, which is just around the corner from the church here down at the bottom of the hill. And it's going to be a real blessing to those who can't afford to eat. The reading today and then the sermon today comes out of Luke chapter 17. So if you've got a Bible, you can turn to it. If you haven't got a Bible, we actually have some pew Bibles, ladies and gentlemen, spread around. There's not one for everyone, sorry. And please only take it home if you don't have one, in which case you're very welcome to it. But turn then to Luke 17 if you would like to. And we're going to read just five verses. The reading set for today, I've been explaining that we're going through the lectionary, which is a way of reading through the whole of the scriptures, which the early service have been following, and so we're following it too. And the reading that we've come to is Luke chapter 17. The last few weeks, if you've been here, we've been reading through Luke 14, 15, and 16. Obviously, that comes before Luke 17. It's just a little clue for you. The messages of Jesus have been really challenging. Jesus said in Luke 14, unless you hate your mother and your brother, you can't have any part of me. I said a few weeks ago, I told my mum that. She wasn't thrilled, to be honest. So, what does that mean? And we'd started then talking about our influences, the things that influence us, or the people that influence us, or the pressures of life that influence us, our influences and our attachments, the things that we're connected to more than Jesus. Because the next week was the reading about Jesus saying, you can't love God and money. You've got to choose between the two. The reading in between that is Jesus saying, you've got to take up your cross, put everything to one side and follow me. Costly faith, which is why I think when we get to Luke chapter 17, verse 5, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Lord, help. I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever prayed that prayer. Lord, I could do with more faith right now. Lord, increase my faith. I haven't got enough. Well, be encouraged. You're not the first follower of Jesus to ever pray that prayer. The people who are actually, literally, physically following Jesus were praying that prayer. So if you've prayed that prayer, you're in good company. Well, Jesus replied, verse 6, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Verse 7, suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Today, I want to ask you the question, what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? It's Harvest Sunday. It's a big day of celebrating the things that we have, the stuff that we have. But we live, don't we, not in an agricultural community. So it's not like we bring in the harvest and celebrate all the stuff that we've got because of that. We live probably about as far away as you can get from an agricultural society, right in the center of a city. I don't know if you've been harvesting your fields this last week, but I'm guessing it's a little bit unlikely. You may be one of these people who has a chicken or two, so maybe you're able to have your own eggs, but generally, you're not going to take them down the shop and try and barter with your eggs for something else that you need. We don't live in that kind of society anymore, do we? We live in a society where money is the thing that we use to trade for goods. We don't live in a bartering society. We live in a financial society. So in some ways, it's hard for us to get into this idea of harvest. But we as a family used to go and stay on a farm and the last week of August. And if you've ever been around a farm on the last week of August, you'll notice a couple of things. First thing is it's really frantic. Everybody is working from dawn until dusk to work as hard as they possibly can to get the stuff in from the fields before it turns too cold and before the frost starts and it ruins everything. The second thing you notice is the silage really stinks, because all the sun has been baking on it and it started to rot, and the farmers are thrilled because the smell is horrendous. Well, I'm sure they're not thrilled at the smell, and we certainly weren't as we were holidaying there, especially when the wind blew in that direction. But that's an amazing thing that they're then going to use to help become more fruitful next year. But Harvest Sunday goes right back to Genesis chapter 1, where the Lord said, or where the scripture says, God created mankind or humankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. You see, it's our job as human beings, under the blessing of God, to steward and look after what it is that we have. A little bit like Kid President was reminding us that it's our job to remember that it's the whole world that's our responsibility. That can be a little bit overwhelming. So what is it that we can think about that? Well, Jesus says today, to the answer to the question, Lord, we haven't got enough faith, increase our faith. Jesus says, you only need faith the size of a mustard seed. A tiny little mustard seed. That's all it is. And the disciples are going, yeah, but Lord, we said increase our faith. So I was hoping I had a little bit more faith than that. It appears that maybe Jesus is not talking about quantity of faith. He's talking about the quality of our faith. That our faith is that, Lord, deep down in the very depths of us, I do trust you for my salvation. Lord, in the very depths of me, I do trust that your way is pure and righteous. But honestly, it's really hard. It's really hard to live following Jesus. But Jesus says, if you have just that faith, you can do extraordinary things. It's quality, not quantity. It's that bit within us that says, Jesus, I want you to be my greatest attachment. Even though I know I'm attached to things, I know I'm attached to stuff, I know I'm attached to my reputation, I know I'm attached to the money that I wish I had or the money that I do have. I know I'm influenced by what other people say I should do, and I know I'm influenced by other people's opinions and what my family think I should do and what my friends say about me or what my kids are demanding of me, or what I hear about in school or in college or at work. But Jesus, I want you to be my greatest attachment. And I want you to be my greatest influence. That's the seed of faith that Jesus is talking about. And then he tells this story, which looks like it doesn't really make any sense or doesn't have any connection at all. He's just said, well, if you want to increase your faith, don't worry, you just need a bit of the size of a mustard seed, then you can move a tree into the sea. Wow, that's quite a lot. That's a big deal, right? I've never moved a tree by faith from where it is into the sea. That would be pretty cool. And then Jesus tells this story of a servant and a master. And, well, has anybody got a servant? Anyone? Right, well, about 100 years ago, if I asked that question in this church, probably there'd be a very different response. But nowadays, we don't really have a culture of service. Jacob has a servant. It's called Dad. Right. Or mum might fight for that title. We don't have servants. But Jesus is saying, look, to a culture of people who understood what having a servant was like, he's saying, look, your servant's been working out in the fields all day. And then they get home. They come in. And what do you do as the master? You say, oh, you must have had a really hard day. Put your feet up and let me make you a cup of tea. Of course you don't do that. They're the servant and you're the boss. And it makes us feel slightly awkward because we think, oh, yeah, but, you know, we don't have a culture of having servants where, you know, you obviously want a good culture for the people who you employ. You don't want to treat them like slaves, but at the same time, they've got a job to do. And their job is to make you dinner. And so they get to eat after you've eaten. That's the way it worked. So when Jesus was speaking to the people, the disciples, they were going, oh, yeah, that makes sense. That's just what it is that you do. And it made me think, as I'm sure you're thinking right now, of Downton Abbey. Any Downton Abbey fans in the house today? Interesting response. It was slightly different at the earlier service. That's all I'm going to say. So you've got the Earl of Grantham on the right-hand side, and you've got Carson the Butler. On the left-hand side. Carson the Butler on the right-hand side. Carson the Butler, I think he's pretty epic. He never looks particularly flustered. Well, sometimes when he does a good deep grumble. But the thing about the butler is, everything that he has because of the Earl. The Earl is his Lord, right? He says, my Lord, to him. That's how he talks to him. And it means that the food that the butler is offering to the Earl belongs to the Earl. The food that the butler eats belongs to the Earl. The clothes that the butler wears belongs to the Earl. The bed that the butler sleeps in belongs to the Earl. Everything that the Earl has, the butler has, comes from the Earl, his Lord. So if we are following Jesus and saying, Jesus, you are Lord, then everything we have, we see it as if we've received it from our Lord. And so when we offer it to him, it's not like Jesus going, oh, thank you so much. It's like Jesus going, well, yeah, that is mine. Thank you. Not for sharing it with me, but for treating it the way I've longed for you to treat it. You see, our attitude should be one of gratefulness, that we receive from God those things that he has given us. And there are natural things that he gives us and supernatural gifts that he gives the church. And the Bible talks about a whole list of them, like encouragement, the gift of administration, the gift of leadership or healing or speaking in tongues, the gift of prophecy, the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us as the church so that we can begin to look a bit more like Christ. And if Jesus is going to be our greatest attachment and our greatest influence, then we start to use those gifts for which we are thankful in the service of our Lord. That's how it works. So we have a sense of gratitude, and then we have to have before I talk about that. I think in our culture, we get so used to what it is that we have. And sometimes moving into another culture makes us realize what we take for granted. So I was in Uganda a few years ago and suddenly became incredibly grateful for the fact that every time we turn the tap on in this country, we can just drink the water, right? Anybody else been to a country where you're not supposed to drink the water? It makes you incredibly grateful. Oh my goodness. I never even think about it. Just turn the tap on and have a drink. Wow. A couple of nights ago, we thought we needed to get something. We'd forgotten to get it as part of the online order. So I jumped into the car, drove to the shop, bought it, drove home. Wow. We are living, friends, in a kind of time that people have dreamt of throughout history, where basically everything we need is available to us. And we generally have the means with which we can get that we need. I'm not saying that for everybody, but for many of us. And so the first thing to do in this Harvest Sunday is to come with this sense of gratitude, a sense of thankfulness. And then as we're thankful for what it is that we've got, I feel like the Lord's asking us the same question that he asked to Moses. You remember Moses being called in the burning bush? Moses trying to find any excuse that he can find to say no to what it is the Lord's asking him to do. Moses, are we to go and deliver my people? Well, I'm not very good at speaking. Well, I'm not really good timing. Well, I'm too old. Well, it's a bit awkward. And eventually the Lord gets his way and he goes, all right, I'll go. He says, but what am I going to do? What am I going to say? What am I going to show them to prove that you are who you say you are? And the Lord says to Moses, what's that in your hand? Moses says, well, it's a stick. And the Lord's like, great, I can use that. He chucks it on the ground. It turns into a snake. Picks it up, turns back into a stick. And that's the beginning of an incredible journey. And it's a bit like the story that Rick was reminding the kids of on Friday at the harvest service, where the little boy brought his lunch to Jesus. And from that one lunch, 5,000 people were fed. Just think about it. What would it have been like if that little boy was like the rich man we were hearing about last week? It was like, oh, I'm good. Ah, oh, that's not my problem. Oh, I'll just look after myself. Instead, the little boy offered up what he had. Jesus took it. So that not only was the little boy fed to as much as he wanted, everybody else was fed, and 12 baskets were left over. You see, the thing about following Jesus is we can feel like we need to cling on to the stuff that he's given us. But if you cling on to the stuff that you've given, that's been given you, and don't share it, it just shrivels. But if you entrust it to Jesus and say, Lord, this is what I have, would you do what you want with it? The amazing thing is, when we give it away, he gives back more. Because if Carson goes to the Earl and says, my Lord, that's my butler voice,
my Lord, we've run out of food.
He's got a strange accent, I'll admit. He says, we've run out of food. What does the Earl say? He's the Lord. He says, go and buy some more then. Here's what you need to get it. That's what Jesus is like. If we are generous with the stuff that he has given us, he will be even more generous back to us. And that's our journey of faith. As we are grateful and as we have open hands and offer it to others, what God has given to us, he then provides back for us. That's what it means to live with Jesus as Lord. That's what it means to live under the bounty of heaven. He's the king of all creation. He really can provide. And that's why we really want to invest in this sense of being a generous church, of giving stuff away, and of being a generous people, of giving. And if you're committing to us here and wanting to be part of our worshiping community, we want to invite you to give generously. Not because we want more stuff, but because we want to have it open-handed to be a blessing to others and to continue the ministry that God has given us to give. So standing order forms are at the back. Got to mention that. And we're going to take an offering in a moment. But before we do that, Rick's going to lead us in some prayers before we turn to the table and share communion together. Remembering that Jesus gave everything to us. Jesus, open-handed with his very life, said, Father, you can have it. And what did the Father say in response? You can have it back. Here's your resurrection life. And so, Lord, as we come to you in prayer, Lord, we ask you that you would cause our hearts to be grateful for the things that we have, for the things that we take for granted, the natural gifts and the supernatural gifts. And that, Lord, you would teach us to be open-handed with those gifts, that we can trust you to be faithful to your word, that you would give back, pressed down, shaken together and running over when we offer what it is that we have to you and to others in the service of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.